Well, good morning, Thrive Church. Yeah, good morning. So I just want to welcome you, whether you're joining us in person or online this morning. Welcome to Thrive Church. So glad that you are here. First of all, I just want to thank you, Tom and Nicole. As a parent of a college student, I know what you're doing is so invaluable. It's just so, so valuable. I know that there's things that they can say to our college students that we as parents cannot, right? Sometimes they listen to other people better than they listen to us. So thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you for just answering the call that God has on your life. So thank you for being here today. So Pastor Sheldon and Michelle are off cruising somewhere in Alaska today. So can we just give them a round of applause for their leadership here and the fact that they just really deserve a rest today? So we just thank them for all that they do for us here at Thrive Church. So my name is Sandy Olson. I am the kids pastor here at Thrive Church. So can I just say one thing about worship? Okay, worship was amazing today. And I think it's because I'm usually in the back doing like kids worship and we do all these moves and it's just so different. You guys are so fortunate for the worship that you have. Okay, I just wanted to say that. I had a really great time today. So I'm the kids pastor here at Thrive Church. I am married to my amazing, hardworking husband, Eric. We've been married for 20-something years. I'm really bad at remembering these things, so he probably knows better than I do, which is really weird. We have three amazing boys, Noah, Isaiah, and Malachi. They're all pretty grown at this point. They are a blessing in our lives, and they grow up too fast. That saying that says, the days are very long, but the years are really short is very true. I also just want to give a shout out to parents this morning. Can we just thank our parents this morning? Give them a round of applause. Thank you for sharing your children with me and my team. Thank you for making church a priority in you and your family's lives. How many of you know getting yourself here on Sunday is pretty hard sometimes? It's a lot of work. Try doing that with kids, right? For our parents, try doing that with kids. I just wanted to give another shout out to my amazing, series on and listening to everything I say. Okay. Just wanted to give a shout out to my kids ministry team at Thrive Church. There's an amazing team of people who serve you guys, serve Thrive Church every single week, loving on your kids, praying for your kids, just telling them about Jesus every week. Can you just raise your hand if you serve in kids ministry? There is a ton of you. Just thank you so much for all that you do. We love your kids. Honestly, I always say Thrive Kids are the best kids. They are. They're amazing. But just also like grandparents, we love to send them home at the end of service, right? Yeah. Okay. So Pastor Sheldon challenged you guys last week out of the book of James. Okay. He challenged you to step up and that our actions speak louder than our words. Yeah. He'll be continuing with the book of James when he gets back next week. But today, my challenge to you is, yes, your actions do speak louder than your words. Let's pray together quick. Father God, we just thank you for your presence in this room. We pray that your voice is louder than any other voice in this room, that we would not be distracted today, that the words that you want us to hear, that they would just, you would let them hide them in our hearts, Father. We want to become more and more like your son, Jesus, every single day. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. So I have a little riddle for you guys today, okay? Here it goes. I cannot be saved, though people try. When fun is had, they say I fly. They say I'm money. I can be spent. I can be wasted, but never lent. What am I? Time, yes. If you guys noticed the video we just watched, you probably figured out the answer is time. So I've been thinking about time a lot lately. How I spend it, how much of it maybe I have left, what to do with it, where to spend it, who to spend it with. Time. Now, maybe it's because it's a midlife crisis. Not sure, because I've actually never been midlife before until now. But I do realize that I am getting a little bit older. My kids call me old, like almost every single day. They point out my gray hair. I do complain about my knees hurting sometimes. Social media recently suggested that I need Botox, and then I need some like wrinkle cream. So I'm thinking that they know too. I don't know how, but I've also received, anybody else receive mail from the AARP? AARP? Social Security? They keep telling me how well they've invested my money and how much of it I will get back whenever I decide to retire. Here's a stat that you're not going to want to miss. Okay, I've heard that a football reference in every sermon is a must and important. So here's my football reference for you football fanatics out there. I am older than Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I found this out, and I was very disappointed because he's the old guy, you know? He's the old guy. I think I may have lost my chance to play professional football. Can anyone say FOMO? Fear of missing out? Missed out on that opportunity. Recently, my family and I spent a week at Spencer Lake. Woohoo, Spencer Lake! Family camp over the 4th of July, okay? One evening, the speaker was closing out service with an altar call, okay? He invited the young adults to come up so he could pray over them. And then he said these words, all of those under the age of 40. Okay, that did not include me. I was a little shocked. My whole entire row, besides a couple of us oldies, got up and went up front. My whole section was pretty much empty. I looked behind me. You guys, it was a sea of white hair. And I thought, okay, number one, how did I become the adult in the room? And at that, how did I become the old adult in the room, right? Like, oh, I'm an oldie. So being an adult, right? A few years back, I remember seeing this saying floating around social media. Maybe you've seen it, and I find it to be so true. So it says, adulthood is saying, but after this week, things will slow down a bit, over and over until you die. How many of you feel like that's true? I feel like I resonate with that so much. How many of you, when asked, how are you doing? Your reply is, busy, busy. If you don't say okay, if you don't say good, you probably say busy. Actually, someone told me this yesterday when I asked them this, and I thought, you're in my sermon tomorrow. But yeah, you're busy. I think sometimes we wear it as a badge of honor, right? Like, I'm busy, I got so much to do, I'm busy. So what are you spending your time on exactly? So I asked ChatGPT, yes, I said that right, to help me with this, okay? So see if you can find yourself somewhere in these results that it gave me, okay? So a typical life in the day of a teenager in 2025. At 7 a.m., you check your phone immediately, your notifications from TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram. You quickly scroll through messages, maybe watch a couple TikToks or listen to music, grab a quick breakfast. Then you go to take the bus or a carpool to your school. You listen to a podcast. You might send streaks on Snapchat or reply to group chats. Okay, I will say that I don't even know what some of this stuff means. So for you teenagers out there, after that, you might attend class, use your laptop or your tablet for notes or assignments. You might have a break between classes and use that time to check your phone, hang with your friends, or sneak a peek at social media. Lunch is a mixture of eating and social time, often with phones out, sharing memes, or filming short clips. After school, you head home to do your extracurriculars, you know, sports, and all of those things. You take a quick snack or a chill time, and you might scroll through TikTok, play a mobile game, or jump on a Discord call. 5 to 7, you work on homework. You often with your background music or your on FaceTime or on Discord. Some teams do content creation. They resell clothes and shoes or take a freelance gig. Others might practice an instrument or take an online class. Then you go to dinner, you have family dinner, and then maybe you discuss school, but afterwards you watch YouTube and scroll social media. Then you make game a little. There's a lot of online stuff with these teenagers here, I see. Streaming shows like Netflix or Disney+, and then you group chat, video call, Snapchat, Instagram, DMs,
are very active at this time in your window. So then you lay in bed, you scroll TikTok, Reddit, or YouTube Shorts. And then you might post on your private story or journal. And then you go to sleep. Okay, so that was our teenagers. Now on to young adults with jobs. Ooh, jobs. Okay. You grab your phone immediately. You check Slack. When you wake up in the morning, your email, group chats, news, a bit of Instagram threads. You quickly scroll through TikTok or listen to podcasts. You might brush your teeth or make coffee. Water, skincare, vitamins, maybe journaling or meditation. Quick gym session. Anybody go to the gym? Run, yoga, using apps like Apple Fitness, etc. Join a Zoom call or Google Meets. In-person work involves commuting, using Slack, Google Workspace, AI tools, all of these things. Casual multitasking is the normal. Grab lunch from a local spot or meal prep at home. I'm going to move right on to working moms. How many of you are working moms? Working moms at home, working moms at work, doesn't matter. Your alarm goes off, you press snooze, once, maybe twice. Quietly tiptoe around the kitchen for coffee before the kids wake up. Mentally review the day. Meetings, school drop-offs, dinner plans. Wakes the kids up, negotiates breakfast. Cereal versus waffle debate again. Packs lunches while refereeing the siblings, arguing over toothpaste. Changes into work clothes in between finding a missing shoe and signing a forgotten permission slip. School drop-off line, shuffle. Dials into work for her first call while sitting in traffic. Sips some lukewarm coffee and silently prays for a green light and good Wi-Fi. Logs into work, meetings, deadlines, emails, juggling things, maybe calling the pediatrician in between phone calls at work, scarfs down a leftover protein bar with a Zoom call. At 3 p.m., you wrap up your reports, try to get home so that you can make dinner for your family, occasionally interrupted by spilt milk and last-minute homework, supervises math problems, maybe Googles how to do fractions. Manages bath time and negotiations. Yes, you do need to wash your hair. Kids in bed at, 9 o'clock and quickly tidies up and preps up for the next day. All right, one more. Retired. How many of you are retired? They always say that you get busier when you're retired, right? Is that true? No? Not true? Okay, well, we'll see. So 7 o'clock, you get to sleep in 7 o'clock. It says wake up or not. No alarm. Wakes up naturally, sometimes before the sun. First thought, what day is it again? Brews coffee or tea, reads the newspaper, scrolls on the tablet, maybe takes a morning walk, tends to plants, chats with a spouse. Breakfast isn't rushed. There's time for real eggs, not just a grab-and-go bar. Checks the calendar, doctor's appointment, grandkids soccer game, library book club, runs errands, pays bills, and volunteers, meets a friend for lunch, takes a short nap in the afternoon. Why not? It says, why not? Maybe a walk, maybe some stretches, maybe you watch the news, preps dinner, calls and FaceTimes a friend, dines earlier than most restaurants even start getting busy. That's a plus. Watches a favorite show, flips between channels, and revisits some old movies. Possibly plays a game of cards, dominoes, Wordle, or find, where are my glasses? Maybe have dessert, definitely pajamas, and then out for the night. So did you hear yourself anywhere in any of these today? Or a combination of them, maybe? Now, these don't even include all the other things we need to do, right? Mow the lawn, grocery shopping, pay the bills, moving kids to college, killing wasps, feeding pets. Can you say orthodontist appointments? Those are like forever long. And I am absolutely convinced that kids' sports are taking over the world. What's my point? We are busy. We are distracted. We can be very unintentional about the time that God has given us. My son, who happens to be a manager at Culver's, came home when we were talking about work one day, and he said this very well-known statement. And he said, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean. That's right. I am convinced that like a goldfish grows to its environment, if we had more time, we would just fill it with busy stuff. We pass this mindset on to our kids. It's in us. It's in our culture. It's in our bent. Time, busyness, distraction. Corrie Ten Boom is famously quoted as saying this: if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Mm-hmm. So let's see what Jesus has to say about this busyness. And well, let's honestly call it a distraction, our distracted lives. So you can open your Bibles to Luke today in chapter 10. We're going to be in 38 through 42. Hopefully you guys brought your paper Bible today. Paper Bible. I was just hoping that as a church we could make this a trend again. Paper Bibles. Okay. Can I just challenge you guys to bring your paper Bible? I ask our kids in kids ministry to bring their paper Bibles every single week, and I promise that they are watching you. Okay, they're watching you and what you're doing. Put those phones away. They are distracting, right? I know I can't handle it. I know this is what happens to me when I'm going to open the Bible, and I know that this thing can do some amazing things, right? But it is also very distracting. So stop grocery shopping while you're in church. Stop checking the weather to see if the picnic that you have planned after this is going to rain out. Stop checking social media, your Fitness Pal app to see if you have enough calories to eat that cupcake at the birthday party you're going to later tonight, and get off your phone and in your, say paper, paper Bible. Okay, that's just a challenge I have for you guys. You can do it. I know you can. How many of you know about praying grandmas? Praying grandmas, anyone had a praying grandma? Okay, so I had one of those praying grandmas, and one of the things that's etched in my mind is waking up when I would stay with her for a couple weeks in the summer. I would wake up, get out of my bedroom, and she would be in the living room with her paper Bible open on her lap. It's just something that is absolutely was an inspiration to me. So be an inspiration to our kids. Now, when Pastor Sheldon asked me to speak today, God put this story on my heart because I myself have been compared to Martha a few times in my life. It's very annoying, but it also is so very true. So just so you know, I'm speaking to myself. I am guilty of being distracted, too busy. Maybe you would call it unfocused. I say yes to way too many things. It's probably how I got myself into this situation today. Can anyone say squirrel? 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 I don't know if you're familiar. It reminded me of this children's book. If you give a mouse a cookie, anybody know what I'm talking about? If you give a mouse a cookie, it goes something like this. If you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for a glass of milk to go with it. If you give him a glass of milk, he'll probably ask for a straw. When he's finished, he'll ask for a napkin, and on and on and on until he gets back to the cookie. So squirrel, right? Can you relate to getting sidetracked? I think we're sidetracked right now. All right. So a merry heart in a Martha world. Okay, if you found Luke 10:38 and you're ready, say ready. Ready. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Jesus visits Martha and Mary. Oh, I have Martha in the story, remember. Okay. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by all the big dinner plans that she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come up and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. So to be honest, when I read this story, I'm kind of feeling bad for Martha. The girl is working really hard, while her sister Mary just kind of sits over there on her you-know-what. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like Martha before. Ever been in that situation? Ever worked with a Mary? Are your kids like Mary sometimes? Maybe your spouse? Don't raise your hand for that one. Like, this is so unfair, right? But then Jesus does something that if I was Martha, I definitely wouldn't have seen coming. I thought he was going to, like, vindicate me, right? Like, come on. Plot twist. He tells Martha, you're distracted with the wrong things. And what Mary is doing is better. Hey, what? How can that possibly be? Now, a few verses before that, in Luke 10:25, we find out something very interesting, which I believe ties into our story today. So if you're going to jump back a little bit to Luke 10, verse 25, just a few verses before, what do we see? We see this, the most important commandment. One day, an expert in religious law stood up and tested Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Jesus told him, do this and you will live. Now let's apply this verse, now that we know this, to what Jesus said to Martha in Luke 10:41. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. There's only one thing to be concerned about, Mary, and Mary has discovered it. I think what he's saying to Martha is you've got the cart ahead of the horse. Your distractions have messed up your priorities. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. Martha, how do you love me if you don't even know who I am? I think he's saying, Martha, come find out who I am. Sit at my feet. Spend time with me. To love me is to know me. So apply this to our lives today. Are you busy with the things that are worth to be concerned about? Knowing and loving God? Or are you distracted with the stuff that in the end will never matter? Will never matter. Now, there are things that we really have to do, right? Like, there's responsibilities that we have as adults, right? And you're probably thinking, well, you don't know my life. I have stuff that I need to do. That's fine, but are you too busy that you forgot to get to know Jesus? Jesus is clear what is most important. He is always first. Do you know him? Do you spend time at his feet? Or are you too distracted with all of the stuff? We need to spend time with him. How many of you probably think that the church is filled with people who work really hard for God? They check that box, but have no idea who he really is. They're just filling a religious obligation. We need to spend time in his word, church, and you are the church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. To love him is to know him. So when I was preparing this message, here are a few verses that came to my mind, what God's word says about God's word, okay? Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light unto my path. John 15:4, remain in me and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Luke 12:31, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest. Are you working to, like, maybe set some money aside for you? Or, like, that's what I think of when I hear this. You're stockpiling things, right? For your heavenly Father feeds them And aren't you far more valuable than they are? Last one, Deuteronomy 6:7. This is talking about when you're talking to your children about God. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. So we have this saying in kids' ministry. So if I have any kids in here that just graduated, maybe grab your Devo before you leave-o. Okay, that's what we do every Sunday, right? And bring it back-o is what I tell them. A little goofy maybe, but I hand out Devos to your kids every single week that are in our elementary. And I kind of bribe them to do them. I do give them money for our kids' store in the back. But why do I do this? Because I know how important it is to be in the habit of getting to know God. And everyone needs to do this for themselves, right? If the only way that you're getting to know God is by coming here on a Sunday, can I call you Martha? Can I call you Martha? I tell the kids almost every single week, your relationship with your God is your responsibility. Your mom can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. And for you adults, your spouse can't do it for you either. You ever just sit and soak in God's word? You know, when it speaks to your soul. I remember the first time I read the story about Moses, that part where God's calling Moses to go back into Egypt to save his people. And Moses is like, God, please send somebody else, right? Have you ever felt that way? I remember that just going, oh, if Moses said that, now I don't feel so bad, right? Because even Moses felt that way. Are you high schoolers, junior highers? You're going to like this one. There's a challenge at camp to recite Bible verses. I don't know if they let you use this verse anymore, but it is the shortest verse in the Bible, and they like to get points for it. It is, Jesus wept. Right. Right. So now I'm a very empathetic person. I remember when I was sitting, I remember the exact place I was when I was sitting and I read this verse for my very self, all right? I knew it was in there, but I read it for my very self and I wept. Why did I weep? Because I was like, he is fully God and he is fully human. He does have empathy just like me. There are countless more stories that I have like these. Moments in time when God has changed my heart in his word. Do you guys have stories like these? Bottom line, church, do you trust God with your time? You're thinking, gosh, I only have 10 hours left to get 10 hours of work done, but I haven't spent any time with God today, and God really would like to spend an hour with me, but I can't because I have 10 hours of work to do. I just can't today. So, sorry, God, your math isn't mathing. Kind of like tithing, right? You want 10%, how am I going to pay the bills? That math ain't mathing. Do you trust God with your time? What if I said it like this? All of our time, just like all of our money, actually belongs to God. And he is just asking us for part of that back, right? Not because he's greedy. I would say 90% is probably pretty generous, especially when it's all his. But he knows our trusting him with our time and our money is actually really good for us. Really? Like, who would have thought the creator of the universe might know more than we do, right? Do you trust him with your time? I promise God's math isn't like our human math. Now pay attention again to the greatest commandment in regards to our Martha and Mary story. Mary had her priorities right, but God never said that Martha's work was bad. It was just out of order. She was distracted. First things first, right? Remember, the Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength, and all of your mind. Find out who he is, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. We all know we love ourselves, right? That's pretty easy. That comes easy. But do you know that loving your neighbor is a lot of what? It's a lot of work. Not unlike the work that Martha was doing, okay? How many of you know God has a plan and a purpose for your life? Raise your hand if you know. Everybody's hand should be raised because he has a plan and purpose for every single person in this room. He has a purpose for your life, and I promise you it involves loving your neighbor, which is a lot of what? Work. That's right. Now, that's going to look differently for all of us, right? We're all made differently to do different things. And I can't tell you what your purpose is, but God can. But how are you going to know what your purpose is? How are you going to find out what your purpose is in loving your neighbor if you haven't spent any time with him? We have to know who God is first so we can know who he says we are. Let God's word speak to you. Pray and ask him for wisdom, and then say yes to God and get to work loving your neighbor. So here's the bottom line, church. Put your seatbelts on. Sheldon said in circle prayer time that when I preach, everyone needed to wear their seatbelt. And I don't know if that was for my safety or yours, but seatbelts on. No more excuses. We are meant to be different. We are not like the world. You are the church. You are set apart. So be God's people. Get to know who he is. Love your God so you can love the world. We see here at Thrive Church, we are leading people to, in the 715, to become life-giving followers of Jesus. How are we going to claim to do that if we don't even know who he is? No more excuses. You're not too busy. God is calling you to stop being so distracted. Here are some simple action steps for you guys to take. Think of your mama. She doesn't like to hear excuses. Think of mama. Now, this is where those actions are going to speak louder than words, right? Simple action steps. No more excuses. Call it an assignment if that helps. Number one, every day you're in God's word. I want you guys to get to where you crave God's word. Most of you know my father passed away in September. And while he was in the hospital for weeks, he loved Jesus. And one of the last things he said to me was how much he missed that time in the word in the morning, because he was having a hard time reading and just focusing and stuff, but how much he missed that because he craved it. That's what I want for each and every one of you in your lives, because we're the church, right? Can't show people in the 715 who Jesus is if we don't know who he is. Number two, every day you're talking to God in prayer. Every day, no excuses. I tell the kids in kids ministry, you have to fold your hands, bow your heads, close your eyes. And I tell them this all the time. We do that just so they have a hard time maybe talking to their neighbor while we're praying. But I also tell them, that's not a formula. You can talk to Jesus anywhere, anytime, all day long. You can talk to Jesus. Number three, every day you're listening for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. And then when he tells you to do something, do it, right? All the time. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Number four, every day you're talking about what God is doing in your life. This helps us, right? Helps us when we talk about Jesus to other people. Find an accountability partner. Maybe that's your spouse. Can I say join a life group? Start a life group. Church, I feel like our life groups should be so incredibly full that there's a waiting list. No more excuses for us. Number five. And then get out and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Invite somebody to church. Invite someone to family night. Your actions speak louder than your words. And I promise this next generation is watching us oldies, okay? They're watching us. No more excuses. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about myself, and then I'm going to close in prayer, okay? So about 10 years ago, give or take a few years, because I'm really bad at remembering exactly what time things happened, my dad's wife, who's his second wife, passed away. And he was kind of lonely, and he had always had a dog, okay, in his life. And his new wife that had passed, she did not like dogs at all. And so they never had a dog when she was alive. And he was lonely. And I happened to have a friend of mine who was getting married. And her fiance had two dogs. And they weren't getting along. So he needed to rehome one of these dogs. Okay. So I was like, oh, perfect opportunity. All right. This dog needs a new home. My dad needs some company. This is going to work out great. So my dad lives in Green Bay. And I went, it was in the evening sometime. It was a fall day, late fall, early winter. And I went to drive there. And on the way there, you know how winter can be fall in Wisconsin. It might be cold. It might be hot. It might be raining. It might be, you know, snowing. And on the way there, it was raining. Raining a lot, actually. It was probably about 40 degrees out. Got to my dad's. We introduced the dog to my dad. Things went great. Got back in the car to go back to Wausau from Green Bay. And the temperature had dropped probably about 20 degrees. And the snow started falling. And that rain that had rained on the roads now turned into ice. Okay, so now we had icy roads covered with snow. Not a great combination. So I remember, you know, driving home, going relatively slow, thinking I was going slow enough, just driving along 29 near Pulaski. And I went to adjust the radio, I think. It was the radio I was adjusting. So I took my eyes off the road. And I heard this voice, and time almost seemed like it stood still. I heard this voice say to me, you're going to have an accident, but you're going to be okay because I'm here. And I looked in the rear view mirror because I was like, it almost seemed like there was somebody in the back seat talking to me. It was very weird. And I chuckled to myself. I remember chuckling, thinking, that's silly. When my eyes came back and focused on the road, my car was heading west, which it should be on the way back to Wausau. But my car was actually traveling east. No, I mean north, sorry. It was facing west, but my car was moving east towards the ditch. So I ended up upside down in the ditch. It was late at night. It was dark. The ditch was full of water because it had rained. It's very disorienting when you flip upside down in your car. It was very dark. The airbags went off. My hearing ears were ringing. I could feel what I thought was blood all over my face. The car was filling up with water. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be trapped in here. I'm going to drown in my car. But I remember there being a light coming from the back seat because when I had the windows had broken open, I was able to unbuckle myself, crawl out that window, and then crawl up to the highway where these great people stopped and, you know, let me in their car. And I thought I was bleeding because I just felt this wetness. And I was like, surely I didn't just have this accident and I'm okay. Went to the emergency room. My husband came back from Wausau all the way to Green Bay to get me. There was not a scratch on me. Not a scratch. I wasn't bleeding from anywhere. It was just water. I did all the scans. I did all the, you know, tests that they do. There is absolutely nothing wrong with me. Because he told me, you're going to have an accident, but you're going to be okay. And I truly believe that God allowed that accident to happen. Because you know why? I was distracted in my life. He was like, God, Sandy, you're neither hot nor cold. I died to save you, and I have a plan for your life, but you're distracted. I wasn't in any gross sin at the time. You know, I was living my life. We were coming to church. Our kids were coming to church, but he's like, I have more for you, and you're too distracted to see what that is. How many of you are distracted? Satan has you looking in that rearview mirror, adjusting the radio, looking all over the place. Instead of where your eyes should be focused on what really matters. Don't let Satan condemn you today, but absolutely allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, to follow his prompting. You were made for a purpose. I know I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize I wasted it. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to see that the potential that God put in my life was wasted because I was too distracted with the things that never even mattered. Because if the devil can't make you sin, he's going to make you busy. There will never be enough time to visit all the places, eat at all the restaurants, watch all the movies, play all the video games, go to every sport event, and read all the books. But I promise you this. There is enough time for God's perfect plan for your life. So ask him what that is today. My life is not my own. All of it belongs to him who made me. And I will use this life to know him and run the race set before me. Acts 20:24 says this. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. Amen, church. Father God, we just come before you today. Thank you for your word. God, I hope that the ears that needed to hear this heard this today, Lord, that your voice was louder than anything else in this room, Lord, that our distractions would melt away, Lord, and we would remember who you are and why you came to this earth to save us, Lord, and that we would connect to you every single day, every single day. No more excuses for us, God. We know we need you. Maybe you're in this room right now and you're like, I have never actually asked Jesus into my heart. Never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. You can say something like this. You can repeat after me. Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, Lord. I know that you sent your Son to this earth to die for me. Lord, I am turning away from my sin today and accepting your free gift, your Son, into my life, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for all that you are doing in this church, and I thank you for each one of these people in this congregation, God, because you are going to use their lives to further your kingdom in the 715. I just ask all of these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus, and all God's people said. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today,